And then I realized I wasn't nuts. I realized it wasn't crazy. It was a real place that I went, and my life was dramatically changed. The very next time that I came back to this earthly place, I was instantly delivered of alcohol. I was a drinker. I drank. They made 6 packs, and then they made 12 packs, and then they made 30 packs. And when they made 30 packs, I was drinking them like they were 6 packs. And I was still functionable, you know, and I drank beer like it was water. And then it was starting to go to Jack Daniel's shots with it. But I was a functional guy. I'd wake up, and then go back to work and just kept functioning like a normal person. I didn't have issues or problems other than, you know, my heart was really in a very heavy saying, is this life? Is this what it's all about? But God heard my heart and he saved me and brought me to a place that I'm here to share with the whole world, the life after death and everything else. But when my life was completely delivered, when I came back, I was delivered of alcohol. I was delivered of drugs. I was delivered of envy, strife. I was delivered of all the things that the Bible talks about, flesh. And this book here is called the Bible. And I'm speaking to a lot of people around the world, and even in America, a lot of people don't know this book. Well, my experience and what I had bears witness of what is in this book. There are many books, spiritual books out there, but the only one that I found that matches up with the life that I experienced was this Bible right here, this Holy Bible. Now, I will say that it's very hard to understand. So I recommend anybody that does read it, stick with the New Testament right now, if you're first time reading this book. And log on to the website, because a lot of it will bear witness of what I'm going to say. And don't really get too crazy about trying to read it, because you'll just probably beat yourself up trying to understand it, because it's a book of mysteries. It's a spiritual book. And there's a lot of Christians out there that get born again and saved, and, you know, they go through the process, I guess they think of being saved is, and they get in there and they start reading this book and they get very frustrated and they just don't get it and they beat themselves up and then next thing you know, they walk away. Please don't beat yourself up, because it's impossible to read this book. You need to be enlightened. That's why I say read it, meditate on it, ask God to open up your eyes, really truly open up your heart. When you do it in that way, he will reveal those things to you. In the meantime, I'm going to try to break it down as in the most simplest form that I could share with you. When I was in that, I'm going to call it the heavenly place. Some people say that realm may not be real, and you can't see God, or nobody has seen God. And I'm going to tell you, I did see God. And I was taken, escorted by living beings, angelic beings, and they took me and I saw Jesus. And Jesus is real. He is one just like us who had a relationship with God. And he does have an honor and he does have a realm of glory up in heaven that is shuts heaven up when he talks. When he comes into the presence, it seems like a total awe. Has anybody ever experienced an individual that carried an authority where when that person comes into the room, it kind of like everybody's quiet and they're ready to hear what they have to say or what have you? Okay, well, that was Jesus. And he's real. And a lot of times you'll hear my message and it seems like I may not believe in Jesus like most Christians believe in Jesus. But I'm going to tell you, he's my brother, okay? He's my brother. He's my savior in the sense of him showing me how to have a relationship with the Father. Did he take away my sins, as most people may believe that he did? No, he didn't. His actions took away my sins if I follow them. In the sense of putting God into a place where he already redeemed me. The sins were forgiven since the foundations of the world, before you were even created. And I hope you understand what I'm saying, because Jesus is really just the Lamb that was reincarnated and used. Even in the Old Testament, when they held sacrifices, what did they do? They sacrificed the lamb, right, for the remission of sins. It was like a law that was placed because of our intelligence. And so Jesus came back into the world to become that lamb to show the world that our sins were already forgiven. And so after I was done with Jesus, and believe me, he didn't talk to me. It was more mental telepathy type talking. But the last words that I did hear from him was, go back and tell them about my Father. And at that point, I came back to this earth. And it hasn't been until just this year, I'm going to say, when I said, yes, Lord, and made a commitment to be full-time in ministry, to walk away from everything, to begin to start the message. And I realized the message is, tell them about my Father. And I'm so grateful to be here to tell you about God, the God that I know, the God that has been living with you all your life, that we didn't really know. And we were brought to places of listening to others as if they knew. And they didn't really know, but we didn't know either. So we only learned from them. And it's been generation after generation after generation after generation, all believing a God that was based on traditions or rules and regulations. When the reality is, there's one God, and that God lives within inside of you. He's yours, Father. And he's my Father too, but we'll get into that a little later. But he's your Father. It's very personal. And he has a law that is written for all of us to follow. It may not be my law, but it is a law. And that law written is on your heart. And that's the law that we need to bow down and follow and obey. The law written on our heart. And eventually, as we grow and learn, our laws begin to kind of mesh together. And then we become one. But this is a process. But I'm talking to the world that is all scattered out there. So I have to start from the beginning. And the beginning is that God has a spirit dwelling within you, and it's his spirit. And that law is written on your heart, and that's the law that we have to find and follow. It's your passions. It's your desire. It's your unction. I call it, it's your anointing. It's your everything that you hope and dream of, because that came from him. You didn't create it. You didn't conjure it up. When you were born, you grew with something. And has it changed? It could have. And he does allow us to change. But the whole reason of life is to develop a relationship with God that's dwelling inside of you, who makes you who you are and allows you to walk into a life that you have never experienced before. How many people have had a desire but never really followed through with it? Okay. Now, I'm hoping that I can change your thoughts today, because the reason why you never followed through with it was because of unforeseen demonic spirits that were causing you to hinder your walk with God. And why I say that is because all of a sudden, the things that caused you to not follow the law written on your heart, to not follow the hopes that you had, to not follow that word that is on you, is because there's a realm that wants to separate you from God. There's a realm that doesn't want you to have that relationship. And if you look back and find out why you never followed through, you had reasons and excuses, didn't you? Oh, maybe it wasn't the right time. Or maybe you weren't old enough. Or you didn't meet the right person. Or you didn't have enough money. Whatever it is, you had a reason or an excuse, right? Think about it. Why? Because you were operating in a realm which I call fear. And I want to speak on a message about fear today, because fear robs us from life. And there's no reason to fear anything. When God created you, He created you in love. And perfect love casts out all fear. But we've lost this love somewhere. Take a child. Does a child have any fear at all? None whatsoever. Fearless. Thing climbs up on furniture, jumps. Look, mommy, look, daddy, I'm Superman. Wah! And falls on the ground. Does some really crazy stuff. But as we grow older, what happens? All of a sudden, we get reserved somehow. Somehow or another, we lose this sense of fearlessness. And all of a sudden, we're carrying all these cares around. We start carrying all this weight on our shoulders. And God doesn't want these weights on our shoulders. Now, if you're carrying around 100 pounds on your shoulders, what's going to happen by the end of the day? You're going to be like this. Ugh! And you're going to be really tired. You're going to have all kinds of reasons why you feel like a mess. And so we have to take these weights off of our shoulders. We have to take this pressure off of us. These things, how many people have heard a little leaven spoils a whole bunch? A little bit, and then a little bit, and then a little bit, and a little bit. And that's how it all starts. And we fall out of glory based on all this little bit of leaven, so to say. All this little bit. And if we can stop it, and not allow to have these things be a weight on our shoulders, we're just going to become affected mentally, physically, emotionally, and we're going to just be called a hot mess. Does anybody understand what a hot mess is? Okay. Amen. Amen. And so we need to begin to change the way we're thinking. Why worry about tomorrow when tomorrow has its own worries, right? We create more scenarios and more imaginations in our mind. And believe it or not, we're living in a realm of faith. But it's a negative faith. See, faith is a power. Okay? I want you to understand, faith is a power. And faith actually creates. And faith will create a God, and this God may not be the God that I'm talking about. There are many gods out there. There's the pillow God. There's the, you know, go-to God when I'm in need God. You know, there's many, many, many gods. But there's one true living God, and that God is the one that has a law written on your heart that we need to tap into and follow. And renounce all, I'm going to call, hidden shame. Because when we can't walk in our law written on our heart, somehow or another, we're walking in shame. We're walking in a sense of fear because we don't want to have people think about us in a different way. We want everyone to think proudly of us, amen? I mean, we want people to say, hey, that's a good guy, or hey, that's a good woman, you know, hey, that's a good person. You know, we want our children to look at us as hey, that's a good mom and dad, you know, or whatever it might be. And that's normal, and that's okay. We all want that form of glory. We all want that form of being looked upon and someone that has that credibility. And we're afraid of failure. All of us are afraid to fail. But when we have a relationship with God and we know God and we find the God that I'm trying to lead us to, and we've really put all our trust and hope in what's inside of us. Now let's take a moment. What do you really desire the most in your life? Grab a hold of that and start living that and never let it go. Now you're beginning to exalt God. Now you're beginning to worship God. Now you're beginning to put Him first in your life, and you're not letting Him go. See, God is really your emotion, so to say. Not the hot mess emotion, but your feeling. The thing that you really, really want. The thing that you really, really desire. God is life. And without hope, you have no life. And so when we allow things to manipulate our life, we're coming into disobedience. We're coming into sin. This is what true sin is. Sin is walking in something that you are bowing down to other than God. You have a desire, but you're afraid because you don't have the money. And then you come up with some kind of reason. Oh, well, maybe I'll save, and then when I have it. Well, whose power are you putting yourself into? Are you putting it into your power because, you know, oh, but then let's make an excuse up. Well, you know, we have to walk in wisdom, brother. You know, we have to not be fools about these things. We come up with all kinds of reasons. And then before you know it, 20 years went by. What happened? Now the reason is I'm too old. Now the reason is, you know what? That was when I was 20. We're missing life. We're missing God. We're missing opportunity to bring something in us that we will never, ever want to let go. And you know what that is? A peace, a joy, and a righteousness. When you walk in your hope and you get your hope, man, do you feel good? Well, you've just been covered with God's righteousness. When something that you've done or something that you might have wanted to do and then later all of a sudden it passed you by and you didn't do it, don't you feel a little regret? Okay, well, that's lack of righteousness, so to say. It's sin. I want you to understand how we walk in God's righteousness. It's not by doing good deeds. It's not about doing something that you don't want to do. How many people have went to feed the poor and you really didn't want to, but you did it because you felt like you had to? Come on, we were all there, especially when we were like new Christians. We felt like we had to get out there and feed the poor and come on now, I was there. Then I realized I'm grumbling in my heart. These people don't appreciate it anyhow. And I'm saying to myself, my God, am I serving God? Am I serving the God that I'm supposed to be serving in works? Or am I doing this in faith and works? How am I serving God? But then we can come to the point where, oh, brother, you need to discipline yourself and stop murmuring and rejoice in Him in all things. Again, I say, rejoice. We have ways of twisting the gospel when if we can keep it very simple and stop putting so much rules and regulations and pressures on ourselves, let's make it simple. How do you feel? Well, do what you feel. And who cares what people think? How do you feel? That's the law of God. Let someone who feels good to feed the poor, feed the poor. Doesn't mean that you're called to do that too. If you're not feeling it, then that means that God is saying, don't do it. You don't know. Maybe there's some nut over there that's ready to shoot on everybody there at the streets. You don't know what God is saving you in. We don't want to come under a law that is made by man. We want to come under a law that is made by God. And that law that is made by God is how you feel. You want your cat healed. God wants your cat healed. You know why? Because you want it. And your wants is his wants. And he just wants you to hear that it's his will. It's not a selfish will. It's his will. Let it go and think that, okay, God, it's your will. Then let's see it. Now you're walking in glory because you want to see him. As soon as you begin to say, God, I want to see you, what you're saying is, I want to see your will in my life. I want to see your glory in my life. I want to see you put this together because it's inside of me and I see it. Now I want you to materialize it on this earth, in heaven as it is in on earth as it is in heaven. How many people have heard that prayer? Jesus said to the disciples, how do we pray? Or the disciples said to Jesus, how do we pray? And Jesus says, pray like this. Our Father. He started bringing them in. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He started to exalt his name, started to exalt who he is, that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords, that God is the supreme being upon this earth. And then he says, you know, after delivering us and all that other stuff, and he says, on earth as it is in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. Okay, let's establish heaven. Where's heaven? You see, the kingdom of God is within. Heaven is within. Okay, if we're talking about an earthly realm and you are all earthlings, mortal, okay, there's a heaven within inside of you. Let's not look at heaven all the way out there somewhere, okay? We'll be there one day. But let's look at the heaven that's within. Because that's what he wants us to follow. That's what he wants us to submit to. That's where he wants us to live now. The heaven within. Don't look at the heaven beyond. We're not there yet. As soon as we master the heaven within, then we can start putting our hopes and desires to the heaven without, in there, out there. Because there is a place that's real. And I truly believe the condition that you leave this earth is going to be the condition that you're going to be in when you leave. And this is why it's so important for the world to get out of the torment. If you're in torment now, you're going to be in torment when you leave this earth. This earth has no value whatsoever other than changing within to establish a peace and a joy and a righteousness. When you follow the kingdom of heaven inside, you begin to renounce fear and worry. And this is the battle that God is saying for us to overcome. He who overcomes, I will grant a seat right next to me. How many of people have read that scripture before? Okay. Well, what are we overcoming? What, our moaning and groaning and the daily life that we wake up every day? Oh, I gotta do this, the insanity work. I gotta wake up, and I just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. You have a life that God wants to give you. Now, it may be part of the insanity that you're living right now, but God is gonna put a mix in there and he's gonna get you out of the insanity. He's going to give you the desire of your heart. And the desire of your heart is not insane. When your cat is healed and completely whole, how are you going to feel? Man, you're going to have a praise on your lips and you're going to be glorifying him and you're going to be worshiping him. Well, that's what God wants. He wants us to worship him. He wants us to praise him. He wants us to glorify him. But how can we glorify him if we're living in insanity? We're not getting the desires of our hopes. Well, what robbed it? Oh, it'll never work. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, this person, that person, this is happening, that's happening, this is going on, that's going on. I don't have enough to do it. You got to start somewhere. You got to make a decision. What God are you going to serve? If you're going to serve my God and it becomes our Father, let's walk in it. Here's an example. How many people know Jesus? Good. Because if you look at Jesus, you would see him through my eyes. He was unruly. He didn't follow any of the rules, did he? He was an outlaw. He was a cool guy to hang out with. He hung out with the prostitutes and the bandits and all that, the taxpayers, you know? But what was he following? He was following his heart. You know, he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Where do you think he was coming from? You think it was always that audible downloading voice? Okay, Jesus, turn left. Go to Bethlehem. Okay, turn here. Go there. Make it right. Okay, go to Pontius Pilate. Go over here. Go over there. No, it was here. The voice of the Lord was right here. Because Peter even tried to stop him, didn't he? Oh, don't go there. And what did he say to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. How many people have heard that scripture before? That's one of my favorite ones because he loved Peter so much. And he said, get behind me, Satan. You don't have the mind of God. You have to understand, I have to go here. Well, how did Jesus know? He felt it. What made Peter Satan? He didn't feel what Jesus was feeling. He's trying to stop him in that emotional realm. No, don't go. They'll kill you. And Jesus was like, it doesn't matter. I got to do the Father's will. It doesn't matter. So get behind me, Satan, because you're not here. How many people have been influenced by making a decision inside your heart that went against it? Think about it. Oh, don't do it. Oh, you better not go. You know, and we put all our trust in these people. We put all our trust in this. We put all our trust in that. And then next thing you know, we're being led by what? Yeah. Well, what did Jesus call it? Satan. And that person, I'm sure Peter was a really good guy. I'm sure if I looked at him, I don't see Satan in him. We need to understand that you have a life, and it's your life. And you need to live it. Don't regret not living it. Because you're going to be miserable. Inside, you're going to have this misery and a regret. And you're not going to understand what it is. You're going to have a dryness inside of you. And you're going to be like, why am I dry? Why am I thirsty? Why am I hungry? How come I'm not filled? Because Satan robbed it. Satan is there to steal, kill, and destroy. The dark forces are there to rip you apart and not allow you to follow. When you finally come to that place of epiphany and you realize that you want to serve and worship God, you really want to, you know, really lay your life down and be saved. You really want to come to salvation. You really want to know who God is. You're going to end up laying your life down, and then you're going to follow another life. That's called born again. That's what truly born again is. It's not coming up to the altar and accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and then you can say, hey, I'm born again now, and then your life never changes. And if it does change, it's changed under a law.
Well, now since you're a Christian, you got to read your Bible every day. You got to pray 10 times a day. And you better make sure that you always ask the Holy Spirit what to do. And by that, you better go and, you know, on Saturdays, we're going out and feeding the poor. And on Wednesdays, we're going to be doing this. And then you're trapped in that system because you want to keep being born again. You want to keep being saved. And I don't blame you. Because you just don't know anything else different. And this is what you are. You're like a sheep being led. But who's your shepherd? Some man? Some man in a wolf's clothes? Your shepherd is within. That's the one who should be leading you. That's your God. If you don't feel it, that's okay. And if you were supposed to, he'll beat you up and make you feel really bad and get you up off your butt and go. Or he'll give you peace and say, wow, I'm so glad I said that. I feel really good. Listen, God will lead you by his Spirit. If you let him lead you by his Spirit, he will put that conviction or he'll condemn you. He'll put it in you. He'll give you the peace and the joy and the righteousness when you begin to start knowing who you are. You see? Start off saying, I'm a child of God. I am a child of God. How many people are going to say that right now? I am a child of God. And if you are a child of God, then begin to hold on to that. And when you begin to walk with the desire of your heart, you begin to walk in that law that's written on your heart, guess what? He becomes your God. And then he begins to start filling every desire. Your prayer is this, but Lord, I don't have the finances to do it, but I'll do it because you've put it in my heart. I'll obey it and I'll start making it. I'll start walking it. I'll start going in that direction. I'm going to lead. I'm going to go as you lead me. I'm going to go. And as soon as you put one foot forward, all of a sudden your circumstances begin to change. And then you put another foot forward. All of a sudden, you begin to start feeling his presence. And then you put another foot forward. And guess what? You walk through the door. What happened? You just started to burst out in tears. You know God is going to heal. You know God is going to come through with your passions and your desires. You know, because all of a sudden, opportunity starts knocking at your door that you never saw before. All of a sudden, things start happening that you couldn't comprehend or even imagine. And that's what he says. He says, I will do far above, beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine. Now you're walking in faith. Now you're creating the true living God. Now you're creating God that has a life for you. Your life is not my life. And your life is not my life. And your life is not my life. Where did we go wrong when we brought in a religion that everyone has to follow the same life? How about just one life? The law written on your heart. The love to have for God. Period. I used to say, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no good, there is no bad. And people would be like, what? And if you think about it, there isn't. Only what you create, what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. What you might think is bad, it might not be what I think is bad. And what you think is wrong might not think what I think is wrong. Now, you get all mixed up with morals. Well, you can't go and just punch your brother in the face. Well, you know, who said you can't? Maybe he needed it. If I'm feeling something inside of me, watch out. You might get whacked. But at the same time, yeah, I'm not going to just go around hitting somebody. Yeah, you're right. There is morals. But let's go beyond the morals. Let's really talk about life. Let's really talk about the reality of it. Let's really go deep and find out why you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's go deep and find out why you're dry and thirsty and you don't have what you need inside of you. What is missing? Let's go deep. Forget about the morals. Let's get real with life. Let's get serious. How many more years you got left? You don't know when the Father in heaven is going to take you. And then what are you going to do? Stand there and say, well, I wanted to, but this circumstance came in, and I really wanted to follow your law written on my heart, God, but fear came in. What happened to perfect love casts all fear? What happened to allowing God to be supernatural in your life and do things beyond what you can comprehend or even imagine? Let's take God to a level that is beyond your thoughts. But this is the problem. We keep God in our thoughts. We keep God on our level. We keep God where we can reason. Well, it makes sense, so we can do that. God doesn't want to make sense. God wants to go beyond your comprehension. He wants to show you that He created you. When did we ever hear the clay say to the master potter? But the master potter takes and does whatever he wants with the clay. That's who we are. We're the clay. God already made our life. Let's live it. We need to cast out fear. Fear is the biggest thing that robs us from our life. It's a culprit that needs to be destroyed. We're all afraid. Somewhere, somehow, we're afraid. And you have to ask yourself, why? And the reason why we're afraid is because we don't know God. Once we begin to start knowing God, now listen, there are levels, believe me, there are levels of knowing God. I know Him this level, and I have a level of fear with it. I know Him at this level, and now I know a level of fear with Him. Let's take our level all the way. Let's surrender our whole entire life. It's almost like that saying, it's better to be cold than to be lukewarm. Has anyone ever heard that saying before? Or better to be hot or cold? Thank you. But what we don't want to do is sit on the fence post, right? That's where we're all at. We're sitting on the fence post. But then it's okay. Then we have all these excuses. Well, I'm a growing Christian. You're either going to do it or you're not. Let's make a decision in our heart. We're either going to believe Him or we're not. You know, it's almost like I always seen this big guy. And I always went after the big guys. Let me beat this big guy up. Because if I lose, at least I can say, well, you know what? You take them on, you know? Not everybody's going to be able to beat this big guy up. So it kind of covers your bases, don't it? Well, you got beat. Well, he's a big guy. I mean, everybody's going to get beat up by him. So it's okay. At least I gave it an effort, right? And it covers your bases. Maybe this is how we need to live our life. But when we punch that big guy out and we knock him out, man, how do we feel? Woo! Look at what I did. I knocked him down. This is how we need to live. God has placed some big things in your life. Every desire that you have is bigger than what you can comprehend or imagine. I know it because that's God. If you can do it, it ain't God. Somehow or another, you broke it down and made it realistic. God is not realistic. If you have your heart truly in a place of wanting to follow Him, you're not going to be a fool. I know some of us are saying probably, you know what, this message can kind of really make you into a fool. You're not a fool if you really want to know God.
If you really want a life, you're not a fool. Because God will turn all things around for the good to those who love him. And if you truly want to love God, if you truly are sick and tired of being sick and tired, or if you're truly wanting a new life, if you're truly wanting a change, if you're truly tired and you realize and you were honest with yourself that you're dry and thirsty, you're miserable, you're not happy, and you want something different. You've got so many years left, and you know what? I don't want to live the rest of my life like this. I'm sick. If you come to a place of being honest and you really want God in your life, I'm going to tell you right now, he won't make you a fool. The wisdom of man is foolish to God. And that's what we're walking in. We're walking in our own wisdom. Oh, let's dot our I's and cross our T's and let's make sure we got everything laid out. Let's come up with a business plan. Let's do this. Yeah, that's all good and everything. And you got to do that stuff when you're not in God. You better do that. You better have a business plan. You better write everything down. You better cover your bases. You better really do your research and everything else. But you got to be a fool in order to know the wisdom of God. The foolishness is inside. Whatever you want, whatever you desire, that's foolish. There's some great things that I want to do and I want to be and I want to go. And I want to tell you right now, it's foolish. I'm holding on to him. Saying, okay, God, let's go. And I'm waiting on him. And he inspires me to move forward. And when he says go, I'm going. When he says stop, I'm stopping. Because I'm showing that I truly love God. I only want to do what the Father says, and I only want to say what the Father tells me to say. You know that scripture, right? The Savior of the world, the one who is trying to show us how to be saved, Jesus, his words. Listen, Jesus is my Savior through his actions. If I follow him, I will be saved. If I understand his ways, I will be saved. If I put God to that place to take me to the cross, I'm saved. What is it to carry his cross? He said, if you can drink this cup, you see, oh, you might not be worthy to drink this cup. Let us look at the reality of the truth here. Let's get out of religion. Let's get out of the law. Let's get in life. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he didn't say, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the Christianity, I'm the Asians, I'm the Muslims, I'm this, I'm that, I'm a Haitian, I'm whatever it is. I'm this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. What was he saying as far as life? What is the life? What is life? Does anyone understand what life is? Life is within. We're not too old yet. How many of us here have a desire to want to fill, and it doesn't seem possible? Amen. Because I want to close this service with that thought in mind. If there is something here that is within you that you want to accomplish or you want to become, and it seems impossible, I want to pray for you. I want to be able to break that power of thought that is over your life and set you free. I want God to do a miracle in your life. We are in bondage. We're prisoned. We don't realize it because we think that this is what life is. We think that we're living our life. I was born here. This is my parents. This is the job I have. This is the life I have. I have a wife. I have kids. This is my life. Your life is when you're not dry. Your life is when you're not thirsty. Your life is when you're not hungry. Your life is when you're not empty. We're all empty. And if we're honest with ourselves, we can understand that. If we're honest with ourselves, we can realize that we don't really have the joy and the peace that we want. Well, we got to surrender. We got to surrender, and that's faith. Okay? And then we have to create a work. And that work is now start following your passion, following the law that's written on your heart. Start making a decision. I don't want to live this way anymore. As soon as you begin to start saying that in your heart, you are now pleasing God. Faith and works pleases God. You cannot please Him without faith and works. One might say, I have faith. One might say, I have works. But you need faith and works. Faith is you come to that place of being honest with yourself. And you realize that you're not saved. You might have been a Christian for many, many years. That doesn't mean that you're saved. Salvation isn't the altar call. Salvation isn't just accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Or it would never say, work out your own salvation. Salvation is a matter of coming into a place, coming into a true place of realizing your condition and then beginning to make a change. And then we go from glory to glory to glory. Now I thank God that what He did in my life, because He saved me really, really quick. And I'm a miracle and a sign and a wonder. And then when it happened, I couldn't understand why people just couldn't get out of their sickness. I couldn't understand why people just couldn't be healed and delivered and set free. I was getting frustrated. I was basically telling everybody, what's wrong with you? Get up and walk. But then I realized I'm a freak of nature. And compassion started coming on me and realizing the powers of darkness that are over our lives. Before my life changed, I went through a very, very severe struggle, even to the point of even looking at suicide because of the weight that was carried over on my shoulders. It seemed like everybody ran to me for a problem, and I was the problem solver. I was the one that makes it better. I was the one that put out all the fires. I was the one that had to take care of everything. I was the one, go to somebody else. And I couldn't hide. And I was on the verge of just saying, you know what? I'm ending it. But God said, no, I got a better plan for you. He came and touched me and saved me. And I know what it's like to be saved. Do I have the same problems? Does people still? Yes, they didn't go away. But what went away was something that put me in bondage. The dark powers that were over my life left. Life didn't leave. The powers of darkness left. And I want us to all understand that we're encamped around powers of darkness. And these darknesses are destroying our life. Yeah, let's bring Him up here. Can we bring Him up here? I want Him to sit up here in this realm of glory right now because I feel the presence of God. And when the presence of God begins to hang out with me, I get undone. I get a little drunk. I laugh and I cry. And listen, there are all kinds of things that go on in the presence of God.
You know, when I met God, he was crying too. What are you crying for? That's what I was thinking in my heart. He was like, I'm so happy to see you. And I'm like, he's laughing and crying, and I'm laughing and crying, and we're all laughing and crying because we realized the lies. They're all lies. Let's bring him up here. Yeah, right in this place right here. This is where I feel the presence of God right here. Oh, hallelujah. I thank my God for his love. God has already spoken over this man. He's going to be on the golf course. And I'm believing that he's going to be on the golf course because he doesn't want to live out the rest of his life in this condition. He doesn't deserve to be in this state. He didn't do anything wrong. Nothing. He was a man of great courage. He overcame a lot of battles in his life. He's like this to glorify my Father. That's the only reason why. God loves him so much, he's not leaving him to go this earth. He doesn't want him to leave without knowing him. And this state brought him to know him. It's not because he did anything wrong. If anything, he did everything right. I don't know him personally, but I know him in spirit. I wish I knew him personally because he was a great man as far as what I feel and see. He encouraged and encouraged many. He walked in the realm of glory on this earth. And that glory is still there for him in heaven. On earth as it is in heaven. So I'm believing that the shadows of Peter healed the sick. I believe that every time he has an opportunity to come into that place of glory, he's being healed. The powers of darkness are delivering him, being set free. God is setting him free by delivering the powers of darkness. You're getting a little drunk. And I want you to understand that his presence came. And he's going to take you from glory to glory to glory. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you have done already and how you've already touched this man. He's touched. Those that need that place of ministry in their heart, we're going to close the service to those that need to go, I understand, but those that need that special touch from God, those that, you know, have that place of fear that is hindering them from taking it to the next level. One thing I want to say, don't look at your natural circumstances and don't have any negative thing in your heart because God wants to do beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. When I was in South Africa, I had a man worse in condition than you jump out of his wheelchair like Tigger. And he was jumping all over the place. And, you know, and finally he was mute for 3 days or something. And then he came back and testified just before we were ready to leave. And he saw Kurt and I as fires of pillars. And he saw the ladder of Jacob's ladder with angels descending and ascending. And he never knew anything about this stuff. And he saw angels just ascending and descending up and down, just bringing his healing. And he was completely whole. I laugh at this stuff. This stuff I laugh at because of what God has done. If I see it, I know it's true. You'll be on that golf course.
You're going to be on that golf course. And you know what is really getting him on that golf course? The love that he has for his son and his grandchildren. That love that he has for them is what's going to get him on the golf course. Because he doesn't want them to see him like this. And he has every right to feel that way. That's the desire that is in his heart. Is that not true?
Yes.
And I don't even know what his desires are, other than the Father that reveals those things to me. And he will grant you that. Because that's the God that I serve. When he asked me to come down and to tell the world about him, I said to him, I'm not going unless you come with me. Because what do I have? I have nothing. I'm a man that has a background that it looks like hell. I wasn't born in a pastor's righteous family and did the right things. Him out of Marlton, New Jersey. And he says, I'll go with you. And then I said, I'll go. It took me 13 years or better to say, I'll go. I've been going to levels of glory to glory to glory. And as I just recently said, I will go. I'll eat the grass of the fields. It don't matter. It doesn't matter. Because this world's over in a blink. It's done now. It's done. The things of this world don't exist. It only exists in your world, but it don't exist in the kingdom of heaven. These things don't exist. This doesn't exist. This condition does not exist. These things don't exist. They're lies. What you see is a lie. That's all you see is a lie. It doesn't exist. We are whole. Our spirits are whole. These bodies are nothing. They don't mean anything. It's his spirit. And his spirit is righteous. He has a good spirit. There is no sin in this man. There is no sin. You cannot hold anybody and condemn anyone for not knowing. It's only when you know. There are bigger sinners that are covered with their righteousness on the outside that are going to burn. And then you have those that look like they're probably, what did you do when you were growing up? You must have done something wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, he didn't do anything wrong. This is only to glorify my Father, and that's it. That's it. And he will be glorified. Because the world needs to see him. And I'm going to bring him here on earth through signs and wonders and miracles. I'm not going to talk with persuasive words. He's going to demonstrate it in power. There's no need to cast out devils. They're already flying. They're leaving. They can't stand in the presence of God. I'm not a one who will over here do all kinds of witchcraft over your life. I'm not over here to go chinga 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 devil come out. I don't need to. God will set them free in the presence of him. There are no devils. Oppressions, that's it. And he's being oppressed. And I think a lot of his oppression comes from within himself. He's putting that on himself. And until he realizes that he didn't do anything wrong, until he realizes that he is a man of God, until he realizes silver and gold, what I don't have, but what I do have, I have the revelation of who I am. I pass that over to you so that you know who you are. And when we walk in that realm, no darkness can hang. Darkness cannot fellowship with the Son of God. Darkness cannot have fellowship with the light. Receive the light. Receive who you are. You are a child of God. You are the light. You are. Don't let anything else tell you different. It took me 13 years, even with an encounter I had, to realize who I was. And I know the sufferings it takes. Me? Me? But it's true. I forget her name already. Joyce. Come here, Joyce. It has nothing to do about you, and I'm in a drunk state. You know, did you ever see that Pentecost drunk state? These men aren't. They're drunk. They're not drunk.